pressure comes, when we as a church step out, we need to stay wise and we need to stay kind under pressure. So I'm also excited. This is the grand finale of the Wisdom series, and I think it's going to be the best yet. Out of all the sermons I've preached on wisdom, I think this one's going to be the best because my wife Natalie is co-preaching this morning. And so that's a way louder cheer than I've ever had, but you deserve it. And so I'm going to talk about being wise as a serpent, a snake, which how many of you kids like just hate snakes? Anybody just absolutely hate snakes? Well, I'm in that category. Like, I am terrified of gardener snakes. Ugh, like, if I see one when I'm running, I will hop 6 feet in the air and my adrenaline starts pumping and I'm terrified of snakes. But today I'm actually preaching a very unique passage of scripture where Jesus actually says the statement. He says, you need to become as wise as a serpent. And the wisdom of a serpent is that everybody's out to get him with a pitchfork or a garden hoe. And what does a snake do? It is clever to slither and sneak away. It's smart, and it's a little bit sneaky and uses a lot of wisdom. And Natalie, my wife, is going to be preaching on being as gentle and kind as a dove. Because, I mean, let's be honest, like, I have some of the, you know, the characteristics of being, oh, I guess I don't have to say, but she's just kinder than I am. She's sweet, and so I'm excited to co-preach this morning. And so, but Jesus, he's teaching the disciples, and the main text this morning is from Matthew chapter 10, and it's really a training ground for the disciples to be equipped to know what they're getting themselves into. And so, before the Great Commission, which is go into all the world, there's this mini commission here. There's this training ground in Matthew chapter 10, which is very critical for the 12's training. So the 12 are called, and then they're equipped, and it's within this text that we see Jesus kind of say, pressure will come. So stay wise and stay kind. Stay pure in your theology, but also stay pure in your love. So it's this balance that the church, if we want to be wise in our witness to our community, if we want to be wise, we got to be pure in theology and pure in love. So this morning, I'm going to have Natalie come up. You can read the text. It's Matthew chapter 10, 1, and then 5 through 10, or 20.
All right. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of love, has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. Something we wanted to highlight too is we are called to bring peace to cities. Jesus said he will build the church and we need to bring this message of peace. Back to verse 14, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd or wise as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses, to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you.
Amen. Well, thanks, Natalie, for preaching this morning.
You're
wonderful
welcome.
Job. So.
All right, bye.
So whoever God calls, God equips. And the Great Commission is a wonderful passage of Scripture. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, you know, make disciples. It's a powerful Scripture, but here we see Jesus giving them some detail, you know, some mission critical, here's what's coming. Because you got to think about these disciples, they're untrained, ordinary men who Jesus is saying, you guys are going to be the continuation of my ministry. So he says, sheep should stay alert. They should recognize it's not safe, it's not easy. Stay close to the shepherd. Avoid any danger. Be smart. And so it's interesting because Jesus is sovereign. What that means is he knows the full story. He knows what's going to happen. And so when he's talking to the disciples, man, think about what's going to unfold in the next 20, 50 years of their lives. Something incredibly dangerous. In fact, all 12 disciples were martyred for their faith. Matthias replaces Judas, and he was martyred. John, however, I should say he wasn't martyred, but he was persecuted, he was arrested, he was actually burnt in oil, surviving that, and then being placed on Patmos and writing letters to the church. It's interesting that when Jesus says that you have to become as wise as serpents and as gentle as dove, be aware, I'm sending you out to hard places. I'm sending you out to uncomfortable places. I'm sending you to a place of pressure. And what he's saying is stay sharp. What he's saying is stay wise, but also stay gentle. Don't use the world's, you know, retaliation. Don't fight back. Don't get mean. Keep your pure love. And so we see that, man, what the disciples are called here, how does Matthew chapter 10, how does it relate to me in an amazing country where we have freedom of religion, where maybe like 0.01 people are persecuted here in our country? You know, these disciples, they received this message from Christ. They went out as sheep among wolves, and it was vicious and it was challenging. And what does that mean to us as we're taking the gospel of Jesus, this message that reminds people of the good news that all humanity is broken, sinful, and needing something to cover their sins, to be the savior of their souls and their lives. And we're taking this good news not to a place where we will deal with persecution, but a place, a world that is confused and complicated. So how much more, you know, do we look at this scripture from the lens like there is pressure, there is some pressure to avoid, you know, the pulls of our fallen world. There's a constant attack on our beliefs, our core identity. We're constantly facing pressure. It just looks different than the 12. It just looks different than what the 12 were facing in their time. And so we are people that are called to not take the gospel to a pre-Christian world. We are called to take the gospel to a post-Christian world, a world that unfortunately has dismissed the one true God, dismissed his way of doing things. And now you and I are called to be wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. And I think it's a call to us to walk in wisdom, to be sharp, to say, man, we know where we want to go with this message. I think a lot of us here at church, we know what we want to do. We know that we want to take this good news of Jesus, this life-changing transformation message to our city. But I think what so often happens is we're not sharp in our wisdom and maybe even some of our tones, some of our smiles on our face, some of our people skills. And I think in that, we kind of find ourselves saying, man, I'm frustrated in taking this outreach to our community. And how do we do this? Jesus would say, keep, when the pressure comes, keep wisdom and also keep staying kind. And so we can see throughout you know, the New Testament church, we can see the stories of Peter, we can see the stories of Paul, we can see the story of Stephen, who I'm going to be kind of sharing on today. We see that they actually lived this scripture, this direction, this clarity, the message of Matthew 10. We see them carry this out in the New Testament. We see Stephen, who was arrested in Acts chapter 7, and we see that he has to be wise, and we see he also has to be like Jesus, and he has to be kind and forgiving. It's this key balance. And so I want to kind of talk about, kind of briefly summarize Acts chapter 7, and it's really, I think, when Jesus is saying, you'll be arrested, you'll be brought before rulers and religious people, and you're going to be in this, like, this trial, Stephen beautifully, beautifully portrays this scripture. And I think we can learn and we can pick up a few things from Stephen, the first martyr in the Bible. So Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, is arrested by the religious leaders of the time, the Sanhedrin. They pull him into this trial. And what's so amazing is Acts chapter 6, verse 5. When they picked Stephen to be a disciple or a deacon, he was filled with faith and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like he had sharp skates, right? Like he kept everything sharp, razor sharp. He was sharp in faith and he was sharp, filled with the Holy Spirit. So then he's pulled in front of the religious leaders at the time, and they're accusing him, saying, "You have there's blasphemy. You've taught blasphemy against the law. You've taught all these different lies about Jesus, and it's against Moses." And so he's invited to explain himself, and he turns to the accusers, but he turns to the accusers with wisdom and love. He turns to them, and he gives them words. Harsh words, he gives them words of truth, but he does it with a smile on his face. Stephen is facing this arrest. He knows what's coming, and what he does is he relies on the words of Jesus, which at the end of that says, "Don't worry about what you say. I will give you the words to speak." And so he comes up with this downloaded message right on the spot. 3-point sermon, just like mine today. 3-point sermon in front of the religious leaders of the time. And here's the points of his message. Number one is he brings up the fact that you are constantly are rejecting the people of God. God calls prophets, and you guys are constantly rejecting. Abraham misses it. Moses, you missed his message. And what he's saying is he knows their background, and he's challenging them. He's saying, you guys have constantly hardened your hearts towards the people of God, and it's time for you to hear the message. And so what Stephen does so brilliantly and profoundly on the spot is he brings up the fact that they have constantly rejected the whole story, the whole narrative of what the Lord God is trying to do throughout humanity. The second thing that he does is he brings a bolder truth. He speaks a bolder truth. Spirit-led, big idea. And I love this in Acts chapter 7. It talks about this idea that the God that I serve, he's bigger than the God that you have made him out to be. He says this statement, it's a bigger truth. It's a profound truth. It's Holy Spirit-led. He's saying this. He's saying that God is seated on heaven's throne and earth is his footstool. He doesn't need to dwell in man-made temples that you put him in. What he's saying is the bigger truth is that God is bigger than the box that you have put him in. Nice message, right? Nice message. And so then at the final statement, the call to action, it's like, what are you going to do about this message? He speaks to them, and it says this in Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at their teeth at him. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then he cried out with a loud voice, And they stopped their ears, or they stopped their ears, and they ran at him with one accord. They cast him out of the city. So the religious leaders cast him out of the city, and they stone him to death. And so in this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus is equipping the church. He's calling the church to know, to be aware of the narrative of the day, to be aware of how God is working and how God is speaking through the disciples and Stephen here. And then we see this great filling of the Holy Spirit upon Stephen. We see this great, he has this great faith, and he stands up and he stands in front of them. And I love this idea, Acts chapter 6, verse 10. It's not up there, but think of this scripture. It's profound for 2022. It's profound for us. None of them could stand up to the wisdom and the spirit which Stephen spoke in. It's like, that's what I want my life to look like, is that not that I can be, I'm gonna tweet something that's profound, or I'm gonna argue in front of everybody, and that's gonna be the point. That's not the point. But the point is that when the enemy, the father of lies, is tripping up a culture, could we, the church, be people filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with faith, filled with wisdom and the Spirit in which Stephen spoke in? Like, can we do? I believe we can. I believe that as they picked Stephen, it's not meant to be this thing like, oh, it's just the leaders that are going to receive the anointing. It's just the leaders that are going to be wise teachers. It's just going to be pastors. It's just going to be evangelists. I believe so much in all my heart that we are now in this season where it's like, man, there is pressure. Are we going to stay wise in pressure? There is pressure. Are we going to keep our love in pressure? And how we do that is coming to this place where we're saying, man, like, pressure is coming. The same things that Jesus spoke to the disciples, it's like he's challenging us, and he's saying, man, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Be wise. Be loving. And really be intentional to grow in truth. And so I want to give you kind of just some tips this morning as I kind of am wrapping up here, hopefully. But here it is. So, how do we grow in wisdom? How do we grow in being, sharp and knowing how to give a response? And I think it's key for us to ask that question. How do we desire this? How do we grow in this? You know, I think it's interesting that it says, but don't worry, I will give you the words to say. I think sometimes that's a cop-out. This is a justification not to study the Word of God. And we see that, sometimes people just say, well, I'm just not going to study because God's going to give me the download and the answer. But Peter says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord, always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, and give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Sounds a lot like the same type of challenge to the disciples. So, for me, I want to be really transparent. It's like, what do I do when I'm in a pressure moment? Or I guess a better question is, how do I grow in wisdom? And how do I grow in faith? And how do I grow to give that answer for the hope I profess? And I'm glad you asked this morning. But first thing I do is just love Jesus. Like, it's not about me trying to gain, some profound idea. It's just simply, like, I need to love Jesus. And the second thing I do is I truly believe in ministry gifts in the church. So check this out. This is what I do. I spend time around really smart people. So I believe in the fivefold gift of the ministry that God has given his church. First, apostles, prophets. He's given them teachers, evangelists, and pastors. So this is what I do. So I'm picky about who I listen to on YouTube. I don't listen to self-help pastors. I don't listen to, I don't listen to a conservative talk show. I don't listen to that. I listen to doctors of theology. And so what I do is I listen to Dr. Alan Tennyson. I listen to Dr. Amy Anderson. I listen to Dr. George Wood. And I wish I could hang out with these people all the time. But is doctor necessary in front of their title? Absolutely not. But I think in 2022, it might be a little bit more important because there's so much information out there. There's so much lacking wisdom out there. There's so much lacking in truth. And if God says, I'm giving teachers to the church to edify the church, then maybe we should say, what's the teacher saying? What? How can I remember what the teachers are saying? How can they, with the spiritual gift, give me a clear teaching that helps me understand the kingdom of God, helps me understand Jesus in a way that's not all mixed up or damaged or tainted? And I mean, obviously, I'm picky about who I listen to. I want spirit-filled teachers. But I think we got to be absolutely just saying, man, am I listening to people who really know the Word of God? Like, is it biblically sound? Is it accurate? Because I want to be a person who's pure in theology, pure in wisdom, but also pure in love. And so that's what I do. I just love Jesus daily. I just want to be with you, Jesus. I want to be in the Word. I want to spend time praying. But then I also, man, I'm pretty committed to hearing teachers. I'm pretty committed to hearing pastors who know how to teach the Word so that I can be equipped, so that I can be ready to give an answer to the hope that I confess. And I think an honest question that we all got to ask lately is this, you know, but in your hearts to love Jesus as Lord, always prepared to give an answer, the question would be, are we just listening to so much other noise? Are we listening to so many scrolls on social media? Are we listening to talk show? Are we listening? Are we loving Jesus? Becoming prepared to give an answer under pressure, an answer of wisdom. Because I want to be a person that speaks truth even when I'm under pressure. And so I'm going to have Natalie come, who she is the kind as a dove. Like, she can walk into Walgreens and smile at people, and then they can get saved because they just see the kindness of. I think she did that once where she just walked into Walgreens, and then she shared Jesus with someone. And so be wise as a serpent. Be sharp. Like, know the Word of God, but be as gentle as a dove.
All right. Thank you for that, Dan. Hi, I'm Natalie. If you don't know me, I'm 32 years old. I'm a Canadian. We have three kids, and we also have a golden doodle. No comment. We are celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary next week, which is crazy. Yeah. I know. Thank you. Okay, so I have, like, a script, so don't mind me. I don't really feel like I'm qualified to be up here, but I feel like, as many of you guys probably feel as well, we live in the grace and the freedom of Jesus every single day, and that's what motivates me to love better. And I just want to kind of share what's been pressed on my heart and our hearts as of lately. So Dan asked me to share, and I agreed, since I figured there probably wouldn't be as many people here. And, well, it looks like there's kind of a lot of people here, so it's not good. I'm just kidding. but actually, it's fine. Everything's fine. I'm fine. It's fine. I'm one of those weird people that would rather sing instead of speak, so I do not like public speaking. But anyways, we're talking about being wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And I started researching why doves are considered peaceful. I found an article that says, indeed, these quiet, sweet-tempered birds make excellent pets and are even a good choice for apartment living. I was not expecting that. But basically, kids, if you're listening, ask your parents for a pet dove. They are perfect for apartment living. They are cute, they make soothing noises, and if your dove is flying around and lands on you, you can say that the dove has descended on you. So, anyways, do you want me to leave? Okay, all right, anyways, this dove has been a symbol of peace, purity, and the Holy Spirit since forever. But also, prior to Jesus' baptism, the dove was seen sporadically throughout the Old Testament. Each reference to the dove in Scripture had symbolic meaning. Even then, it would be eventually fulfilled in the greater context of Jesus' life and ministry, beginning with his baptism and continuing through the movement of the Holy Spirit, which lives on today. So personally, I feel like it's absolutely crucial to our faith to be gentle as a dove. Something that I always ask myself is what I'm doing or saying drawing someone closer to Jesus or pushing them further away from Jesus? Or another question that I want to ask all of us, including myself this morning, is, Do people who are far from God feel loved in my presence? I want to do whatever it takes to help draw people closer to Jesus and help them feel loved. I think gentleness is a key part of that. Mother Teresa said, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. I love Mother Teresa. Shout out to Albania. Yeah. if you know, you know. Another awesome thought is to preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. That was by St. Francis of, I don't know how to say it. There you go. I'm basically highlighting that it's more our actions and our demeanor that can be a light to someone more than what we actually say. As I was thinking about this morning, I just kept remembering that old school song that we all know, they will know that we are Christians by our love. Not for what we are against, but for our loving nature towards each other and towards everyone. John 13, 34 and 35 says, so now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So a question I want to ask us is, what does the Holy Spirit as the dove want to do in us today? When the dove comes upon you, we can receive that gentleness and boldness. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 talks about how gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. And I'm sure we all know, including a lot of the kids probably know, all the fruits of the Spirit. Against such things, there is no law. The Holy Spirit is in us to edify us. The Holy Spirit comes upon you to edify others. It is the power of the Spirit resting upon you that gives you the fruit of the Spirit. And do you want to know what the church's role is in 2022? Become a peacemaker, a gentle and a wise peacemaker. We are entering into an era in which disciples of Jesus should be first and foremost known for their almost supernatural ability to make peace in divided times. When the dove comes upon us, you cannot help but be unashamed of the gospel. When the dove comes upon us, we become gentle and bold. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteousness will live by faith. Only 7% of Christians share their faith. The number one reason why people don't share their faith is because they are afraid. I personally don't want to be in that statistic. Just because I'm a pastor's wife doesn't mean that necessarily it's easy for me to share my faith. But we can ask the Holy Spirit to embolden us. And like we read earlier in the scripture, he actually gives us the words to say in those situations as well. I believe that the Holy Spirit will equip us with both gentleness and boldness in every season and in every situation we face. There is no other source that has that power. Even in Genesis, we see the Holy Spirit resting upon the newly created waters. That same Holy Spirit can rest upon us today. In this season of ministry, we are sensing the need to emphasize the future church, as you guys saw with our youth-focused speaker and kids-focused speaker. I believe that part of that is leading the way to the next generation by modeling what Jesus is asking of us in this scripture. The next generation is depending on us to live out what Jesus is asking us by being wise and gentle at the same time. It's our honor to come low, be gentle, and to serve. People won't necessarily remember what we have to say, but they will remember what we did or how we made them feel. Thanks. So finally, we can ask today. I'm just going to kind of close my section with a prayer. So if you want, you can bow your heads and pray with me. Holy Spirit, we are available. Descend upon us. Breathe upon us today. Do what only you can do. You are our source. You provide for our every need. You give us a boldness and a gentleness that is like nothing else in this world. Help us be gentle with those around us, especially those we disagree with. We praise you forever and ever, for you are worthy of it all. Amen.
Amen. That was incredible. Thank you so much. Would you stand this morning? What if we became as wise as serpents and loving as doves to the very next generation? That's our aim in the next month. That's our vision. That's our turn that we are taking as a church to battle for the next generation? What if we could become wise as serpents and as soft and simple and kind and gentle as doves to the very next generation, to the kids, to the youth, to the college generation, to the future of this nation? Church, we have got to become and stay pure in theology, and we've got to stay pure in love. Like, you've absolutely have got to just fix your eyes on Jesus. You've got to be equipped by Jesus in this season. And so here's that call as we're fighting for the next generation. This is a turn to fix on the next generation. This is a call to the right battle lines, which is the battle line against the enemy for the next generation. And so we need to be praying. We need to constantly just set up this place to be a place for praying for the next generation, praying for the kids, praying for the college campuses, praying for our high schools in this region, across this nation. We've got to prophesy truth over this next generation, that they'd be people that be like, they would come to their senses and say, I'm so tired and I'm so worn out and I'm so frustrated with myself that I need to cling to a truth. I need to cling to the person of truth, Jesus Christ, the Savior. So September 18th, the 25th, October 2nd, as a church, we're turning and we're saying we're going to be all about the next generation. We're letting them take over Sundays. We're going to be about sharing the gospel to the next generation, praying over the next generation, and we're going to be about wrapping our mission to the next generation and say, man, we're going to love these kids so well. We're going to teach these kids so well. We're going to download wisdom. We're going to download the Word of God, teaching them in classes. We're going to be speaking. We're going to just say, man, we're aiming at the next generation. Are you with me? That's the battle line that is necessary. That is the arena that we have to fight in. That is the place where we've got to call the kingdom of heaven down into that place, that the kingdom of God will come to the next generation in a powerful way. But it's going to be you guys saying, I got to become wise. I got to know the narrative of the day. I got to be a person who knows the better truth for this next generation. We know the truth to share to the next generation. We got to be people that pray, and we speak truth and love, but we speak a word that pierces the heart of the very next generation. The next generation, yeah, there's a battle there, and the enemy thinks that he's won, but I believe this, that we're going to preach the word with wisdom, we're going to preach the word in love, and all of a sudden, it's going to pierce the next generation's heart, and they're going to see a clear Jesus, and they're going to say, I want to follow Jesus. So who can you invite? Who can you begin to pray for? What neighbor with children can you invite to come be a part of the services even next week? Invite them next week, September 11th, as we share more vision about the next generation, fighting for the next generation. Who can you invite? Who can you bring to church with you? Who can you invite? What students can you invite to be with us on September 18th to hear a God-gifted evangelist to share the life-changing message of Jesus? Who can you invite on October 25th or September 25th to hear an evangelist speak to the next generation, to bring hope, but also to wrap our minds around this next generation? I'm so fired up about this. I'm so fired up about what Jesus is doing in his church. And I just pray that, I pray a blessing that we would leave this place and we'd say, God, give us the wisdom to reach the next generation. God, give us this wisdom that we'd be smart as serpents, but also gentle, loving as doves. And so I'm going to pray that blessing over the church today as we leave and go be that, responding to that call. Jesus, I pray, God, for wisdom. Whoever lacks wisdom can simply ask Jesus. And your word says, if you ask without shifting or doubting, that you will be given wisdom. And we ask as a church for wisdom on how to share this good news, this life-changing message of Jesus to this city, to this community, to the regions of the Iron Range. We ask for wisdom. And God, we ask for love, God, that we can go and we can make a difference in this region. Bless this church with wisdom. God, love on this church so that we would be people who are gracious, God, merciful, kind. God, would you just give us, equip us with your spirit so that we can go and, God, have wisdom and love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.